Is there snowing out in the hills yet?
It is just starting to. It's just starting to dust us mountain folk. We don't quite get worried out here until it's some inches like some of you guys back east. Oh, the snow is coming.
Rumor has it that the Sioux Falls School District is already preparing to call school off
See,
on
this is what I'm
Monday.
talking about. Minnehaha County
Come
gets a
on.
flurry, and all of a sudden you guys start talking like the Donner Party.
Come on. When I was a kid here in Sioux Falls growing up going to school, we never had a snow day.
Previously on Dakota Town Hall.
Lasers. You know, so
Lasers.
laser beam.
Lasers.
What that bill is probably going to end up doing, if it actually had any traction, that's going to have deputies chasing every report of a laser pointer that came in from the local crackpot. And the caller's saying, "You need to get the sheriff out and get them into a C&D against these kids." You know, that's what it's going to do.
Welcome to Dakota Town Hall, South Dakota's weekly political podcast.
And welcome back to another edition of South Dakota's most listened to political podcast. I'm Murdoch in the West. We've got Jake in the East. And this is Dakota Town Hall. What did I got? I got told we were Jake. We were what did we got called? I read this on a comment somewhere. We're the Rhino establishment's new mouthpiece.
Are we really? Look at us. That's a good tagline.
I'll take it. The establishment's new mouth. You know, the establishment's new mouthpiece could use a little coin if we're going to be the if you're going to be the establishment, there should supposed to be a little cash with it. Did you find your I didn't find my bag of money. Have you seen your bag of establishment money?
I haven't either. And I was just thinking, if we're the Rhino establishment, we should get one of those rhinos from the Delbridge collection, don't you think?
Yes.
Boom.
I've been asking Jensen for a lemur.
Oh. Well, before we segue, we got to introduce our guest this week. One of my favorite, not just legislators, just people, a great person, Representative Linda Duba. How you doing, Duba?
I am excellent. It's Friday morning before Snowmageddon here in eastern South Dakota, and I've been out of the legislature now for 2 weeks.
Are you
so I'm a little relaxed.
Does it like?
Yeah.
Do you feel like? After, you know, like, how long does it take to finally get back to, like,
Well, I'd like to say that it is a short window of time, but I'm still in office into January. And believe it or not, I've had things that I've needed to do almost every day since we, you know, left for, you know, since we left on March 7th, like we have an appropriations meeting coming up on Monday prior to veto. I've been working on, of course, there's been some issues with District 15 and our motor voters. So I've been trying to get those resolved for people. We have an auditor out here in Minnehaha County who's just loving the fact that she can deny people the opportunity to vote. And so I've been working on some of that. And we didn't get a bill passed.
This is what we're talking about. Right before the show started, I'm like, Jake, I didn't put together much of an agenda. He's like, we're just going to let Duba cook, man.
Okay, it's that. Right. And then, you know, of course, there's Smilegate. I mean, what can we say?
Smilegate.
What is, oh, well.
I had a friend talk to me yesterday and say, I'm surprised you guys didn't go off on that last week.
It's hard to want you want to. Your instinct is to want to, but you don't know much other than how a little silly it looks. It's hard to defend. I mean, you know, it's a little hard to defend. But I don't think anyone's gonna do anything, nor does anybody care. So do I think it's stupid? Incredibly. But is anybody gonna do anything about it? Not really.
Well, not in this state, but the fact that we don't know what the details are, you know, we know she flew down on a private plane.
But I don't, but I don't, does that, do I don't think I care about that part of it, Linda.
No.
I don't, I mean, you want to go do an endorsement ad while you're the governor? Fine, I guess. I think it's a little wonky. And the Arnold went and did a movie part while he was governor. You know what I mean? I think it's a little goofy.
Yeah, that's,
but like,
it's just,
I don't get how
we
you
know why
find...
she did it. We all know why she did it.
Well, sure.
So
to get,
but I don't get why she couldn't find a South Dakota company to do it with. That's why I don't understand.
She could.
I mean, like,
did she
how do you
try?
Not? That's what I'll get.
Because like South Dakota, because if you did it in a South Dakota company, it would be unethical. We would have to do this on an out-of-state company.
Yeah, but she like endorses or like gives shout-outs to companies all the time.
Sure.
I mean, you see that all the time on our social media. So like maybe doing it in a South Dakota company, as long as it's not like
I can't believe you two are making me be here defense lawyer. Do we know, other than to get a nicer set of teeth, do we know why she did it?
Come on. let's move on because that is a waste of all of our time.
I do agree with that.
Agreed.
Also,
much like
number one, think it's dumb while to do it in office. I'm just, I don't know. I don't think anybody cares. This is your guys. This is your people's governor. Every room she's walking into, she's getting standing ovations. I don't know why everybody's so mad. She went and got a fake set of teeth. Do I think it's silly? You betcha. But right on brand, everybody.
You know, also wasting everyone's time and energy, the Delbridge collection seems to be racking up quite the bill.
So where is this? Where are we at on that? I've kind of punched out on these animals until Alex Jensen or you or somebody gets us a rhino or a lemur.
Well, it looks like they about 8 months ago, the collection was shut down. In that time, it's costed the city about almost $90,000-ish.
Just to keep them in a room somewhere?
Well, they're paying taxidermy experts. They're paying legal experts trying to get this figured out. I mean, they got a bill passed in legislature to get them moved out of state.
Which probably isn't necessary anymore.
Yeah, I just don't get it. I mean, maybe you're really attached to these. You're a longtime Sioux Falls resident.
This is about to be the Duba Fine Art and Taxidermy collection of Sioux Falls.
I don't have the funding to. I mean, I'm not giving up my retirement fund to go do that. But I do remember when they were over at West Sioux Hardware, and then, you know, we're moved to the zoo. There are not a lot of folks, but there are several old timers that are very attached to these. I don't know. Just freaking figure it out and deal with it, and quit throwing money down a rat hole on this.
What's a taxidermy expert cost, does anybody think? Bet you it's more expensive than you think.
Probably had to give him one of the animals.
Well, yeah, you trade it, right? You trade it for, listen, we could spend $80,000, or we could hire Stan, and he'll do the whole thing for an elephant and two leopards.
That's right.
Man, I don't get it. I just don't care about these animals at all.
I do. Oh, that's so fascinating. I don't live in Sioux Falls. I ain't seen these things since I was a kid. I guess I'm one of these old timers. I'm really interested in what happens to these animals because it's part of my childhood, and it just doesn't seem so hard to put them in a house somewhere. I mean,
it isn't hard. And you know what? People liked it when they walked through that part of the zoo, but whatever.
I got a real dumb question. Can you not just kind of lacquer them to get to seal the asbestos in or whatever's wrong? That's what we do with uranium. We just put it in a box and bury it in a hole. Can't you just kind of lacquer these things and put them in a restaurant or hardware store? Is that where they were? Put them back in a hardware store?
I've got no experience with this. I am not
No, you're not attacked. That's why you got to hire taxidermy experts. It's a double-edged sword, everybody.
It's a racket.
Well, Representative, you are certainly an expert when it comes to legislative things. So let's go back. Let's get into your session. What were your top of the line big hits this session?
Oh boy. Well, we did some good things. One that isn't very popular is we set aside, you know, several hundred million to build a prison. And, you know.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Oh boy. But
it's such an unwinnable. In my district. Yeah. It's such an unwinnable thing, but it's such a necessary. You know, the last one was built in the 1800s. That's a real number. That's a real number, everybody.
1881. Yeah, you should have seen, good old Representative Van Huysen, you know, whenever he modifies a bill, he puts an important number in there, like an 1881, or, you know, when we were dealing with the airport bill, 1903. Like, does anybody know what that is? Well, of course, Kitty Hawk. I mean, Mr. Historian himself, he likes to modify these bills so we can get them, you know, in the bargaining process. But really, these two prisons, so necessary. I think the bigger issue is that we really, truly need criminal justice reform, and we've really not taken a serious look or a swath about it. Last year, we actually made sentencing more severe for some of these individuals. So they're basically going to have to serve out their entire sentence, which endangers inmates and CSOs. But, you know, we've got, what is it, 90% of the women in the women's prison are there because they have substance abuse. Mm-hmm. And yet, put them in prison versus rehabilitating them, keeping them out, keeping their record somewhat better so that they're more employable going forward. So I think, you know, good thing that we're going to modernize our correction system. We're going to probably provide much more programming. But until such a time, why aren't we looking at criminal justice reform? We did do one good thing. Well, we did several. But on the juvenile justice side of the equation, we found out that our good friends in DSS had all of this federal funding, and they were reverting it back. They were not using it. Well, I'm on the Juvenile Justice Oversight Committee. So I asked a few questions of Lori Gill before she left, found out the amount of money that we were reverting. And now we've taken $1 million of that money, moved it over into juvenile justice corrections. We've upped the stipend that we can give counties for diversion programming from $250 to $750 per. And we are going to expand the programming for juveniles, keeping them out of corrections and hopefully moving them on their way to a better life. And what do we use that for? Well, we use it for simple things like behavioral health, for one, family counseling. We teach them financial stability types of things. We have a whole series of programming, and only 26 counties took advantage of this because the reimbursements were so low. We're going to expand on that, and I hope we're going to see change. I mean, that's the design.
What's the current program for juveniles right now? I mean, because there was the Star Academy that got shut down, right? I'm just not informed enough on this. What is the current program? What is the current, where do they go right now?
Well, where they go is hopefully they go in the pre-adjudication. They go into diversion programming. But if they don't and they end up in the system, many of them are going to the Minnehaha County Juvenile Justice Center. We also have a similar place out in Pennington.
In Pennington, there's one too.
Yeah. And again, once you've put someone behind bars, it's a whole different aspect versus now. Not every child reacts positively to these diversion programs, but we've got about an 84% success rate of reducing or eliminating recidivism within 3 years. So this is the focus that we ought to have.
Not enough people talk about the juvenile aspect of this. I've heard this. First off, most of the people complaining about this haven't even read the bill. They're just like dug in, you know what I mean? It's wrong about prison. I'm guilty of this a little. I'm yipping about how we won't fund the kids' lunch while we're building prisons. So, like, I get that. And then on the other side of it, you hear a bunch of people on the right going, just build more prisons. We don't need any of this rehab nonsense. I'm like, well, God, you both sound silly. This is an awful way to phrase it, but it's good business, because if you modernize this to where they're not just in the slammer for the rest of their life, that's where you can find employment and tax base and revenue and housing, and it's all a little connected. And like, boy, you guys got to think of it like an investment in people sometimes.
Not to mention the cost of keeping someone incarcerated as well.
That's the other deal.
It's so expensive. I was in the school system right before I retired. I was a school teacher way back in the late 70s and early 80s. And then for layoffs, multiple layoffs that I experienced, I ended up in the corporate sector for a really long time. But going back into the schools in 2000, I think it was 2018 that I went back in, and I spent 3 years at a Title I school. We have so many kids that are just struggling. And, we can sit there and talk as educators about, we call it the prison pipeline. If we can't get these kids the help that they need, kindergarten, first grade, second grade, and ongoing, they're going to struggle for a long time. And these are not just poor kids. I just want to stress that. these are not just the poor. Now, I was in a Title I school, so we saw a little bit more of it, but I'm telling you, behaviors are everywhere. Kids are struggling. The pandemic didn't do us any favors when we pulled them out of school for that quarter. You know, people can say what they want, but when you remove a young person from their safe environment, from their friends, that can do a lot of damage. So I'm excited about the juvenile justice changes that we're making. We did do, you know, we put $5 million into the Victims of Crime and what does Victims of Crime funding do? Well, it funds all of our domestic violence shelters and the mental health and behavioral health needs that we provide to these individuals who are probably experiencing one of the worst things that could ever happen to them in their life.
See, this doesn't sound like someone who's done running, Jim.
Go ahead. You know, so here's the deal. We get most of our VOCA funding, Victims of Crime, from the federal government, but that has been declining over the last 4 to 5 years. So this is the second time we've had to go back to the legislature for one-time funding. And what we need to look at next year, I won't be there, but I think there are some opportunities to look at ongoing funding for that. And, you know, the governor actually gave us a little gift by saying, hey, should we be looking at TANF funds? TANF, you know, Temporary Assistance to Needy Families, this Victims of Crime could fall under that umbrella, and it does in some other states. And so we've got a $23 million carryover balance that is sitting in there that is not used. So there may be opportunities that we can find for individuals who need help. That's a good thing we did.
Speaking of money, you had said something when we were talking earlier about DSS want to revert some money back. Am I to take that as they were just going to not spend some of the money that had been allocated to them from COVID or something?
No, it's not COVID funding. It's ongoing funding with a block grant. It's ongoing federal, which
is gonna sound,
you know,
this is going to sound insulting, but why on earth would, I can't imagine a department with a bigger need base than DSS. Why would we be turning away anything?
Well, that's a really good question. I pose those questions to my friends in DSS, and I usually get blank stares back. But.
Okay. Well, if you're getting them, I'm getting them. That's long. You know what I mean? I'm not. I don't know what it, I couldn't. I've never ran DSS for 10 seconds, so who am I to shoot questions? But if you're shooting them, then all right, I'll take it.
Yeah. Oh, no. When you come to appropriations, I'm going to ask the hard questions. I don't always get the answers I don't always get answers. Sometimes I get answers I don't like, but it's called accountability in budgeting. And, you know, we're going to have 10 new members of appropriations next year. 10. Ooh. Yeah. Scary thought.
That is a little kind of a bone. People, not scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not leadership that's on there, right? Like, Hunt Office
leadership
is still there.
Will be fine.
Tony's still there.
Different governor.
But
well,
definitely
okay.
A lot of change.
It's one thing to have the leadership, but you can't rely on them to ask all the questions.
Sure.
You got to dig
in.
You got to understand.
You need good appropriators. You want to? Can we pivot to campaign stuff for a little bit? You don't
sure.
sound like you don't sound like someone who's done. First off, you sound like someone who's about to rerun.
Well, I know I sound like that, but I'm not running. In fact, I just called Jamie Smith the other night and said, "Where is your petition? It better be in, because I'm not going to go out and gather signatures."
I believe it is. I was looking at the website yesterday, and I think it's in.
He dropped it off on Wednesday, so I'm happy about that.
Okay, so let's mainly ask it this way then. You're now you get to say. I mean, you've always got to say what you wanted to say, but now you get to really. Think what you want, say what you want. Where do you want the Democrats in 5 years? Like, what do they need to do? What's the five-year strategy?
Oh, that's a good question.
Okay, that's a great question. Realistically, we need to be able to claw back and hold anywhere from 10 to 12 seats in the House. Let's be honest. It's a tough map. And if you don't have an R behind your name, you better have a good business case while you're running. And you better be out there talking to people. So 10 to 12 seats in the House, and I'd like to see us get up to 6 in the Senate. Again, another a tough thing. And then let's put quality candidates up for national office. The way that you build your bench is what you know, the GOP has been doing. You've got people that you've brought up through city council, county commission, state legislature, and then you hone them, and then they can run for national office. And we just haven't been doing that. And I would tell you, we haven't been doing that since about 2010. But I think this started back in 2000 when some maps were very mysteriously changed.
Another Sean Beck power grab.
No, he was not around 2000. He was not on.
He wasn't.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think Representative Duba's right. Like, I think it's I think both parties are struggling from things that happened around 2000. Right, on the left, it's you lost that precinct ability to really, you know, rabble rouse a training program and have a minor league farm team and really get candidates across all the levels and training and recruitment and et cetera. But it takes a decade for that, right? To like remember when you know, then fast forward when Nesselhoff was trying to keep it going, but it was, you know, probably impossible by then. And then you add another decade onto it. Now there's more homeless people in Pierre. It's not an easy swing back. You know what I mean? It's just that's a really hard. That's a 5-year strategy of 10 seats. That's huge, right? I mean,
my
that's
theory the still moon. Is that they just start calling her Seth Sandlin every day and get her to run. I mean, just she's got to be one of your best candidates out there, right? I mean, she probably doesn't want to run again, but. I gotta imagine she's probably the best they have.
Even if she did want to run again, why on earth would we should do it now? Why you couldn't put your best? It's like the Bears drafted Justin Field, right? And then didn't give him a line, didn't give him a tight end, didn't give him a wide receiver, didn't give him anything. Now he's a backup in the Steelers.
Yeah, and it's sad, and that's the point. You know, yes, Stephanie is. She's just a quality individual. Let's just be honest.
Yes.
Could I see her as governor of the state? Absolutely. But is she going to run for that? No. You know, we for a while there was the great hope that, you know, Brendan Johnson would run. Again, another just high quality individual. But what are you going to do to him? You're going to throw him out there to the lions? You're right. Murdoch, if you don't have people that are, you know, supporting them across the board, then what are you going to do?
That's
interesting.
Right.
The right has the other problem. The right has, all right, well, we're going to win everything. And how are we going to win everything? Well, we're going to bring this group with us. They don't really do anything. Yeah, they're a little mouthy on the internet, which is brand new, but don't worry about it. They're fine. And then you let that fire breathe for 20 years. And this is now. Look, now who's the captain now? It's ungovernable now.
And who is the captain now? And I've been very vocal about this, and I've talked to my normie colleagues in the legislature for the last 2 years, and I've said to all of them, you are losing control of this. Oh, no, we're not. No, look, we're in leadership.
I said, you are
one vote away from losing everything. And, you know, when you continue some of these silly votes that you take on bills, well, we've got to do that or we're going to be postcarded. Here's the thing that bothers me the most about
that. You should be proud of that.
Get out there. Yeah, bullshit. Okay, get out there, talk to your constituents and tell them why you made a vote and why it's important to the people. I'm sick and tired of, I got to do this because, you know, I'm going to get postcarded. Give me a break.
I mean, no one wants to get postcarded, but like, I don't know. In races, I sit with some of these folks, and these are conservative folks. I realize we don't agree with everything. Even Jake's running in a race right now, and I bet we wildly differ on a few things. Wildly agree on a few things, and we're probably mostly agree on that's almost every candidate in South Dakota. There isn't one Democrat who's like, well, you know, he's a communist. You know what I mean? It's just we're all a little bit more together,
you know,
than we think here.
For Republicans, at least, it's that Reagan quote, right? It's the, you know, 80%, 20%. If you're on 80%, you're my friend.
Yeah,
I'm not,
but they're hiding behind that right now. It is bullshit. She's right. Sorry.
You know, Jake, I know you got a tough race ahead of you in that primary, but you can do this. I mean, you're gonna have a tough race, but you can do it. Just get out there and talk to the people.
Thank you, Duba. You know, talking about getting postcarded, I was talking to Murdoch about this. I can't wait for the postcards that are coming that are just pull quotes from this podcast. I am excited for it.
I might. I think the podcast might do one of just great ones from ourselves.
it's gonna be awesome. Just great pull quotes. We're gonna read them on the show. It's gonna be very fun.
Make sure you put DakotaTownHall.com, right? Like, yes. Give us a proper plug if you're gonna do it. We could thank.
Might as well give us put a QR code on there so you can start our show. It'd be great for all the people out there. Bump those listens up. Jordan Mason, if you're listening, that's an idea for you.
Jordan, Ian, maybe. To whoever's running Toby Doden's goon squad, it's MURDOC. There's no K, there's no H. I don't really care, but if you're gonna do it, you know.
I'm excited for it.
So I look that's a little the thing bit about like negative the guy. Mailers. I look a little bit like Carl from Up. I can even give you a little creative help. You know what I mean? It's not that tough.
That's negative mailers never work. People always think they're like going to hurt you or they're going to be really bad. Generally speaking, they're good for the person that's being attacked. Because they're petty. They don't work.
I don't know if I believe that. I believe that if you're a stand-up person like Jake, who doesn't, you know, who sees a thing and is like, well, that's obviously not true. But like, for the same reason I'm a little terrified, we're going to try to put warnings on deepfake AI political ads, thinking that's going to fix it, and we're only going to crave it as a people.
Yeah. Maybe I should clarify a little bit. When I say negative mailers, I mean ones that are more ad hominem attacks, right? But ones that are like on policy probably work a lot better. Like say they voted this way, this is a poor vote.
Took
that's
your
a
dollars
good mailer.
Here.
I don't feel those are good mailers. I had a couple negative mailers in my time.
Did you?
You know what? Honest to God, I just ignored them because, you know what? I was out talking to the people every day and knocking on their doors and having conversations. And I figured the real me in person is much better than anything I can put in the mail, which, by the way, when I knock on doors in District 15, most of those mailers that get left at their doors or come in the mail are laying in the grass as trash.
Yeah, almost. That's just what it is. It's an impression just like anything else.
Piece of advice for people running, Streisand effect. Don't give them any light. Don't mention them, the bad mailers. Just move on from them. No, don't give them the time of day.
It's not worth it.
Oh,
I don't know. I'm not sure you can just kind of put it. I don't know, man. Some of these, like, I will remind everybody one time that group out of Colorado put a mailer out against David Johnson, like, you know, putting him next to Bin Laden, like they went to college together. Like it's sometimes you get it's so unhinged you can't not address some of it when it gets into the feed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean I was go back 4 years ago when Cole Heise was running in my district. He referred to me as a champagne socialist and a supporter of terrorists. And
champagne socialist.
The high road.
Thing is, that
did not care.
The new record,
like, really?
From Linda Duba.
Champagne socialist is something I've never heard before, but something I like about it. I don't know.
I don't know what he was trying to say there. He referred to both Jamie Smith and I as champagne socialist and supporter of
terror. It's a great
name,
right? Like,
because, you know, we marched with the BLM people on May 31st downtown. Hell, it was my district.
You're a terrorist. I've always seen you in the Italian restaurant and thought, terrorist.
Yes, definitely me.
Look at that terrorist eating those spaghetti carbonara.
Just terrified of Linda, although I have been terrified of Linda, to be honest. If you move buildings up the hill a little bit, when you know. So let me ask this: as long as we're still on campaign, sorry, we got a little distracted there. Give me your advice to the new Democratic candidate. Like, what do you say to him?
It's funny. Yeah, what I say to them is: first of all, get out in your district, knock on doors. And before you do that, understand why you're running. But when you go to the door, it's not you just say, hi, my name is, and I'm running. But then you give that individual the opportunity to tell you what they're concerned about. It's more important to let them tell you than you go off and give some stump. I know everybody says, what's your 1-minute elevator speech? But I want to hear what their concerns are. And then the other thing that I did every time I campaigned, and I like to do this, is that at the end of the day, I take little notes. And at the end of the day, I would come home at night and I'd what I called the daily District 15 story. So I'd highlight four or five individuals who I spoke with, and I talked about what their concerns were with the state. And that kept me grounded on what was important to deal with on a day-to-day basis in South Dakota. And finally, and again, I'm a retail politician. I'm a, as Jake would say, shaking hands and kisses babies, Jake. I saw that great picture of you. When I would go to a door and someone wasn't there, I always had a sticky note that I applied to my palm card. And, you know, I'd fill them out and say, hi, I'm sorry I missed you. But then I'd leave a space and I'd note something that was unique about their house, something they had posted, something about their yard, because you want them to know that you really were there and that you took the time to understand who they are as a person. And I think those things are important. That, and, you know, put your social media page out there so that when you do leave that palm card and someone wants to look into it, if they choose to, they can find out who you are as a person. Where did you grow up? What's your family like? You know, where were you educated?
That's how you and find 80 votes, Jake.
Three things.
that could have been 80 right there.
There's 80 votes right in that little strategy. No, but, I think that's great. I think that's good advice.
Was correct. I mean, you got to listen to people. Yes. That, you know, don't try to, I don't know, run away from the door. Like, don't try to get the in and out quick. Got to listen to them. And one time I spent like a half hour at someone's door and I was like, it's only one vote, but it's worth the time and you learn a lot.
Especially if they're going to give you a half hour. That almost never, I mean, you probably don't want it to happen often, but like, thank God it doesn't happen often. But that's sometimes too, right?
Yeah,
I've always thought there's a certain amount of people who can write a paper about the different smells coming out of people's houses. You know what I mean? It's like politicians and vacuum salesmen have a unique perspective in that sense.
Oh yeah. I had a guy that came to the door once. He just gotten out of the shower. All he had was a towel wrapped around him. He wasn't bad looking either, but you know, I was like, wow. You didn't need to answer the door, but you did. Okay. I was like, hey. And I've had people come to the door. I remember a woman in particular, she came to the door. Her kids were just screaming. Her baby was crying. I said, look, I'm not going to stand here and talk to you. I'm going to leave this with you. And, you know, if there's anything you have a question about, let me know. Funny thing, I met her mother a couple of weeks later and she said, my daughter commented about how you came to the door and were empathetic about her and her children. I was like, well, yeah, I've had little kids myself. So you just, you know, meet them where they're at, not where you think they need to be. Sure. That's my comment.
That's good advice. We're going to take a break on that when we come back. We've got a lot to get to yet, Jake. We've got a healthy, whether one might say star-studded, new candidate roundup.
One might say.
We'll be right back. It's Dakota Town Hall.
Dakota Town Hall will be right back after a quick word from our partners. And now back to Dakota Town Hall, South Dakota's premier political podcast.
And coming back with the last section of Dakota Town Hall with Jake in the East. I'm Murdoch in the West. We're joined today by District 15 Representative Linda Duba, the liberal lion of the Democratic Party, lioness, if I may.
I think that's fair.
Who's the last strong voice?
Yeah.
Duba packs in so much to her. She's such a short person, but packs in so much energy and so much, you know, terror at times.
Like the last of the Mohicans of the 90s liberals in South Dakota. That's
I don't know. You want to know? I'll tell you who I think we're going to miss the most. Orrin Lesmeister. Orrin Lesmeister is a high quality individual. You know, without Orrin, we don't have hemp in the state.
That's a good point.
You know,
how many millions in business?
And that's a fact. And as much as I want to give Mortensen and Casey Crabtree credit on, you know, the landowner's bill of rights, do you know who was in there really working this deal until the 11th hour? He was right there with them. And without his involvement, we don't get those Democratic votes and we don't get that thing over the finish line. You know, we don't have very many votes, but
well, when you need them, you need them on stuff like on, especially on landowner's bill of rights, it comes down to a little bit outside a party line.
That man, he's a stalwart and he will be missed.
He's no champagne socialist.
Yeah. Yeah. Before we get off this, I'm gonna go back to the subject for 1 minute. You talked to me about what did we do in the legislature this year. It was a tight budget. I don't know if you guys understood that, but oh God, we made some tough decisions. But I will say this: there was one thing that I was really proud that we got over the finish line and we put it in the budget. Our seniors that are in assisted living and nursing home and are on Medicaid, they are asked to live on $60 a month for personal expenses. $60 a month. Now think about this. You got a cell phone, most of them do. That's going to take the majority of that money out. You need any incidentals at all, like any toothpaste or shampoo, or you want to buy a card for a family member for the birthday, you know, $60 a month. We got that raised to $100 a month through the budgeting process. And that was a very heavy lift. Two other things. It sounds like nothing, but it's huge. Quality of life for an individual living out their last years in a nursing home. Let's do it right. So we were able to do that. And I got to tell you, that was big. That and some of the two other things that we did, the telehealth grants, where we'll be able to get equipment into some of these nursing homes so that we can have, you know, telehealth visits with psychiatrists and behavioral specialists and doctors. Believe it or not, most of our nursing homes are not retrofitted with that. And I mean, I served on that long-term care task force, and we also got some funding for technology, like a bed sensor. So what does that do? Well, let's say you've got fall risks in your nursing home, and if someone is up routing around at night or getting out of bed, you know, we need to camp somebody in that room. Well, with a staffing shortage, we can't do that. With a bed sensor, we know right now when they're up and about. These are really good things, and there are other things that we can do. So, you know, may not seem like much, huge, huge impact. But I'm going to say it. I will rue the day that we didn't take the $7.5 million and pay the $150,000 that we would have had to pay out to get food to feed kids on free and reduced lunch.
Yeah, that was one I was really pushing for as well for you guys. That was a tough one.
Oh my God.
It's going to defining thing. It's going to, I'm not a come back to haunt you type of, you know what I mean? That's all kind of silly. But like that thing, it's got enough tide behind it. It ain't dead.
I would agree.
Well, you know, the summer program, all the state has to do is sign off on it. That's it. And then develop a plan. So it's not a big deal. We can always go back and ask. So we'll see what happens. But we've got new candidate roundup to get to.
Perfect time to hit the music. Here we go.
Loosen your ties.
Linda.
All right.
You got any hot goss for us? Anybody you're excited for? Let's get any.
Oh yeah. Well, you better get his petition in. But Joe Clay Hoffman over there in District 12 is going to be running against Arch Beal for the Senate. And if you know Clay at all, smart young man. He is the 30 under 30, former USD, I believe he was student body president, and he ran Billy Sutton's campaign. So pretty darn good candidate coming in District 12.
Arch is going to have a race?
Yes, he is.
Are there any races where there's Democratic primaries where for some reason you guys just can't figure it out?
Not yet that I'm aware of.
Okay.
I'm looking quick. I don't believe there is, but I thought there might
have
been.
That's a rare thing. My first year, I had a Democratic primary in District 15.
Really?
And that was, I won by 10 votes.
10 votes. That's 10 votes, Jake. That's wild. 10.
And when And when you talk about 80 votes, it was the night before the election, and there was one precinct I hadn't covered. And I was like,
oh, goodness.
I'm going to go out. And it's over by Lions Park area, the fairgrounds. And I went over there. I knocked on a lot of doors. People weren't even aware there was election the next day. Swear to God, my first election, I went to all the precincts where voting was occurring just to thank the voters. I saw five people at the Garfield School who I had spoken with the night before there, and they all said, we're here to vote for you.
Saved your bacon.
They put me over the top. I will never forget that.
So, well, Jake, you wanna fire away on new candidates?
The cliff diving Hawaiian vacationer.
Former
Speaker of the House.
Our former Spencer Speaker is going to run for in. House again. Yeah.
Sure is. We all missed him so much. Pat debuted his, I believe, first of his AI generated illustrations.
I'm telling you.
On the Moore College.
I don't know who he's going to run against, but he's also going to have to run against Pat.
that's the thing. And the ungovernable Pat is going to be a different Pat now than it has been in the past. So, Gosh is in the race.
What did Pat say? He's like, I guess it's a free country, but I have a feeling the post guards are gonna come flying. I thought it was
that's
great.
A fun one. We also have, I want to say, one of the worst press releases I've ever seen for a new candidate. West River. Where else would you get
what
this
do you
kind
mean?
Of
no, no,
press
no.
release?
This is not West River. This is not West River.
You mean the Secretary of the Pennington County GOP?
Oh, yeah, it is West River. You're
it
right.
It sure is. Yes. Heather Baxter is running for, I want to say, the House in District 34. Yeah,
House in 34.
And had a press release that gobbledygook.
Good luck.
I believe is the right word for it. I don't know what this is.
She's running against Derby and Drury. I mean, two of the best. So good luck to her.
It's gonna be
Those guys are good.
Yeah, that's a hard machine. You can all rest easy. I think Derby and Drury are in safe hands. Although I'll say this,
they're good people.
This is as we were talking about earlier. Remember what the Republicans' problem is? This little group that you just let come with you so you could get the majority of everything now has co-opted a couple of county level GOP platforms. Pennington County, one of them, and so she's the secretary of the Pennington County GOP, which is not really the GOP, but here we are. It's not like they're gonna run a Jordan Mason's gonna have a field day with this.
We also have Jim Halverson entering the District 21 House race in Winter, South Dakota. You'll know the name Halverson from his father, Harold Halverson, who served in the legislature for 26 years. You may also know Jim's daughter, Haley Halverson, who is very involved in the Dusty Johnson campaign.
She's on a few Zooms with South Dakota Strong I've been on lately.
He's going to be a good candidate. This is what I'm excited for, honestly. And will be a great representative in the district.
Back into the more 34 you're used to, Jake. Jason Green has officially put his name into the race. I saw he got an endorsement from Senator Dietrich.
He sure did,
this week as well, which should certainly,
help him beat Taffy.
Taffy's going to run a great race. Taffy's a hard campaigner.
Oh, yeah.
Taffy knows what she's doing.
She is.
Right? But, like,
she is.
District 34 is Michael Dietrich, and his endorsement, I believe, should carry that much weight, campaign aside. But, it's still going to be a race.
Back to the House, we have Christy Golden in District 9. I had a chance to meet Christy. She's a really great woman. A lot of experience in, education, and worked for Senator Larry Presler on Capitol Hill.
Can she knock off Bethany Soy?
I sure hope so.
It'll be a tight one.
It will be a tight one.
It'll be one of those where, like, because some of these, I'll go back to 34. They're Jason. If everybody's ever met Jason Green, he's obviously like, oh, that's who you want in Pierre. Here's our next appropriator. This is good. but they're all, you know, this is new ground for them, and Taffy's been doing it a long time. You know what I mean? It's just going to be a little tough for some people.
A returning legislator, Carrie Weems, in District 11 House, has filed to run.
Can't say I know any of the, you know, these East River names. I just know they're worried about the upcoming snowstorm, Jake.
Yeah, well.
I have to go to Pier tomorrow. I'm not worried about it.
Also, back to District 9, Dale Christensen running for the House.
Where's 9 again? Where's 9?
That's like Hartford. It's Hartford, West Sioux Falls. In a lot of ways, is the kind of twin district to mine, in a lot of ways.
Okay.
Yeah.
The other area that could have got the prison is what you're saying.
Well, it was looked at. It was looked at.
I'm all right. That's not funny. I know these guys are mad because there's a prison going in Lincoln County, but like in the poor end of Lincoln County where I grew up, I was used to it. This is how you. That's the price you pay to be Sioux Falls. Sorry. A little blunt.
Well, I think that's all I got for new candidates.
I thought that was all.
Whoa. Cole Heisey's running for Minnehaha County Commission.
I forgot commission races. You're correct. Yeah, Cole Heisey, gone but not forgotten. The bad penny that keeps showing up. He's running again.
My favorite thing was he ran in District 15, you know, like 4 years ago. And then 2 years ago, he ran in 12. He used the same signs he had for District 15, but put a piece of white tape over 15 and wrote in 12. It was classic.
That's called a fiscal conservative, Duba.
Linda, what do you think about, like, these, you know, this kid in Sioux Falls is running for council with the cowboy hat who, you know, who just...
I listened to him yesterday.
What do you think?
Is Neil an interesting cat, is a
good way to put it.
It's a free country. You can run. He wants to run, and he thinks there's corruption in city council. Not enough transparency. I don't disagree with him about the transparency.
We also have Dan Kipley entering the race for Minnehaha County Commission.
Yeah, father,
son. I didn't come prepped with any county commission live from Pennington. I don't think anyone cares. Although I do know some people are running against Lloyd LaCroix, which I think is crazy.
Dan Kipley, really good guy, will do great work on commission if he wins. And father-son duo. Mm-hmm.
What are you going to say about that, Jake? You gonna say anything about that, Jake?
I have no opinions on father-son duos. I think they're great for our political system.
There's still time
for your dad to put his petition in, you know.
As I've said many times, if he does that, I will have two Christmases.
I think it's one of these, you know, if Duba goes, Schoenbeck goes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they had a pact.
Yeah, it's like backdraft. You go, we go.
Yeah.
You know, I can tell you, my dad is enjoying his cabin in the hills. He's enjoying being a grandpa. He still has work to do. Still on the executive committee for the rest of the year.
Yeah, like me.
Yeah, but he's excited to go into retirement, I think.
No, my daughter is due. She's expecting her first child in June. It'll be my first grandchild, and I was just in Denver to see her and her husband
on
St. Patty's Day.
All
so
right.
Come on.
You deserve
this
it.
This is it.
How long you been this doing it, this, man. Representative? How long you been serving?
6 very wonderful years. I had the privilege starting in 2019. I thought I would serve one more term, but when the news came and my kids have been, I suffered a heart attack back in 21. It wasn't because of the job, by the way. It's genetics. And my kids have just been on me to get out. They've been very worried about my health. My health is fine. But this grandparent trumps anything I can find.
Yeah, I can hear that. Fine.
I'm so excited for you, dude. But that's gonna be wonderful.
You deserve it.
Hey, not to mention the fact that this summer I'm going to London and Portugal in a month with my daughter. She's running the marathon.
Nice.
If you don't know me, I'm used to be a big time marathon runner. I'm going to the Paris Olympics. I got tickets
right
to
on.
The women's
good for you.
Soccer final. And then I'm going to Berlin with my son, who's running the Berlin Marathon. And there are a few other trips scattered in there. So also, I got stuff to do.
Remember when Deb Peters stepped back and just started up that pack and heat pack, and then you just saw ungovernable Deb Peters for a while? Ungovernable Representative Duba is going to be lethal. It's going to be fun.
The Duba World Tour.
Exactly.
And I love Deb Peters. I would have loved to have served with her in the legislature. Didn't get that opportunity.
I think Deb, I find it so funny when you with the marijuana stuff. That like you got all these people who are like, no offense, potheads.
No,
like
I get
Murdoch.
It. That's totally
and you
fair.
Got Deb Peters, who is just the most stand up person. It's hilarious when you go to when you go see those groups. And then there's Deb Peters.
She is the camp counselor of the industry, which that's, the industry begrudgingly needs. To be sure,
she's one of my favorite people. She was very helpful to me in my time on appropriations.
Wonderful person.
Yep. Well, she is Linda Duba. She is deserving of a lot of the Democratic Party's compass and direction in the last few years, and has certainly been always fun to watch in the gallery. Every time I'm there, I always kind of go watch, and I get to time it on one of your speeches often, which is really fun. And thank you for everything you've done for the state.
And before you leave, we got one question to ask you.
Yeah.
Best burger.
What is the best burger in South Dakota?
Ooh. My God, this is a tough one. I thought about this. You know, we have the burger battle here in Sioux Falls every January. Now, by the way, my cardiologist has told me I can no longer have beef or pork in my diet. But this was before. This is after I participated in this year's burger battle. And I have to say, it's a toss-up between the winner at Crawford's,
Crawford's
and the Bread and Circus burger. I it's too hard for me to choose between the two of them. They were both outstanding. I got to tell you, if you've never had the opportunity to come to Sioux Falls during the burger battle, get your butt here next
January.
A
lot of fun.
It's pretty awesome.
It's a ton of fun. Someone, I think last year, Murdoch, we had the Crawford's burger.
We did have the Crawford's burger last year. I missed it all this year.
2 years in a row, man. Two years in a row.
It was
but
really
good.
But
the Minerva's burger with the vanilla ice cream and the root beer, that was killer good.
I heard that it was like weirdly good.
It was weirdly good. Very creative.
You know, something you'd serve a champagne socialist.
That is correct. Absolutely. You know, those of us who live downtown, we're champagne socialists. Yep.
Well, Jake, that's the show.
That's a show. Representative Duba, thank you so much for joining us. We've had you kind of in the chamber for a while, and you definitely showed
thank
up.
You.
And
thank
what
you
cooking
so
you
much.
Did.
Yeah, man. It was really.
Hey, can I just say that evening that I got to spend with you guys at Bob's and Pier was one of the highlights of my session. I had so much fun.
My mom always likes to hear that I had so much fun with your son in a bar the other night. That's what my mom loves.
It was a good night.
It was a lot of laughs. No, it was that was a good group of people, you know, all sides of the aisle, and no one was bitching about anything, and everyone's having a good time. It was one of those bright spots.
And Brian Gosch said to me, you know, we're always on opposite ends, but he goes, I respect you. You always tell the truth, and if you tell somebody you're going to vote away, you do that. He goes, my dream is to get you to vote for one of my bills. And I said, well, it's going to be considered a dream, but thank you for that comment. It was very kind of him to say that. He did
nice,
not need to say
you know,
that.
One of those nice moments in politics you just don't get to see.
Exactly.
Anymore.
But and that's what politics should be like. It's like, okay, we disagree on this policy, but we're not going to be jerks.
Representative Duba, it'd be nice if my hangover wasn't as bad the next morning. But, you know, do what you can. All right.
Thank you so much, gentlemen, for having me today.
Thank you for joining it. This has been one of the we've been wanting to have you on for a really long time. This was every inch of fun as I thought it would be.
So my dream next year is that you put Sean Beck in and me on in the middle of the session. Because, you know, from
that.
time to time, we're going to be watching, and then we'll just sit there and have a little comedy
you guys will
team
be,
talking
like,
about what's happening.
You'll be the Statler and Waldorf of South Dakota politics.
Exactly.
That's good.
All right. I got to end the show on just to not to bum everyone out. I just want, sorry, my grandmother passed this week, and I wanted to just, you know, RIP Grandma Donna. Grandma Donna with the toys in the basement was a badass Grandma Donna.
Sorry to hear that, Brad.
No, she's a good run, old Grandma Donna.
Just go celebrate the hell out of her life. That's what you got to do.
That's what we'll go do. From Jake in the East, I am Murdoch in the West. Thanks for listening. It's Dakota Town Hall.
See you next week.
Dakota Town Hall, South Dakota's weekly podcast. Episodes are available every Friday. For more information or to request availability, please go to dakotatownhall.com. Dakota Town Hall is presented in partnership with Home Slice Audio, produced by Leslie Klein. Music and audio production by Oakley Tai. Research by Home Slice Audio and Dakota Town Hall. Graphics by Timmy Grablander. Social media content by Scout Wheeler and website design by Trey Wynn. Editorial advisor and executive producer, Brad Murdoch-Jurgensen. Special thanks to all of our weekly guests. While we try to be accurate with all of our information, this show is recorded live and errors do occur. For corrections, please visit dakotatownhall.com. Hosted by Jake Schoenbeck and Brad Murdoch-Jurgensen. Dakota Town Hall, another Home Slice audio production.